That brings us to item 9.2, 9 to 13 Derby Road, Caulfield East. Is there a motion? Councillor Silver as printed?
No, Mr Mayor. Printed, well, largely as printed with the following exceptions. In the preamble, deleted the following words. And a reduction in the car parking requirement for a food and drink premises. Modification of condition 1 to add in 1i. I reading as follows. The provision of 6 car spaces for the food and drink premises. And the modification of 3 to add a further dot point, not less than 6, with, again, in brackets, the numeral 6 car spaces for the food and drink premises.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Silver. Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor McGee. Thank you. Councillor Silver.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. This is the second time we've had an application of this nature for this particular site. The first application, as councillors will no doubt remember, was a terrible application. I can say it was a terrible application because VCAT did agree with us because it went on appeal. There were, as we noted at the time, problems with the dwelling sizes. It was intended as student accommodation that time. A lot of people were being crammed in, and there was a request for 18 stories. Now, whenever there has been a decision before the VCAT, and the VCAT has had something to say, I at least feel a bit more restricted in what we can say when the application comes back, because VCAT has made a will make a judgment objectively about what's appropriate for that site, meaning that if we disregard what VCAT has to say, we're simply committing councils to an expensive appeal, which we're not likely to succeed on. And the most relevant point that the VCAT made was this, that on this site, there may be appropriately developed a building with appropriate setbacks and higher quality architecture of 10 to 14 stories. The proposal was for 15 stories, and while the applicant may be not be comfortable, happy about this, we're cutting it down to 12 stories because that's what's considered appropriate. The proposal differs from the last occasion in that we no longer have student accommodation, we have service apartments, which is a unspecified use under the planning scheme, so as a permit. The service apartments, what you would say, is a preferable outcome, I think, to student accommodation because at least we have some sort of minimal standard there. There's also, as the motion suggested earlier, to be the food and drinks premises at the bottom. The reason that we've added in the additional visitor spaces is because with the deletion of any three stories that the developer chooses, there will be extra car spaces, and from our perspective, we see no reason why the developer should not provide those spaces. If I seem unenthusiastic about this application, it is because I am. I still don't like the fact that we are putting a tall building here. Nevertheless, as has been pointed out, across the way on the former Triangle site, the race course is going to be, I think, 20 stories. That effect. Well, clearly I was wrong, because we had a big thunderbolt there. No? Sorry? No, it might not. That'd be a great outcome. Oh, I didn't say that. I really didn't say. So we are going to have some tall buildings. Monash has built, I think, at about 12 or so stories on their campus. And, of course, across the road, Stonington has just gone bananas with the number of tall developments, particularly down at the end of Taronga Road, where they've built this large thing. It's almost as if they want Glenara to sort of face onto all these tall buildings. It is a pretty poor outcome on Stonington's part, but nevertheless it does affect the outcome for our area. It's not as bad as this application. I still don't like the way it looks, but it ticks enough boxes, and we've been told that if we don't accept it, we're pretty much guaranteed to lose an appeal. So I think 12 stories is certainly preferable to 14. I think it strikes a balance. It seems a bit less overbearing, the old proposal, and again, we do get to preserve one of the shop fronts there, I think the old ANZ Bank, which is a good outcome, and we also, of course, have the stepping up to the back without going, as I think the old proposal was, from the classic shop front to the very tall building. So I enthusiastically commend the motion.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Silver. Councillor McGee.
Mr Mayor, thank you. Mr Mayor, we see increasingly throughout Melbourne, suburban Melbourne and very much in the city, where heritage Well, while retaining heritage, you also have to accommodate the future needs. And we're seeing that to a certain extent here. A very unique site in that, as Councillor Silver said, within 100 metres to the south, you will have a 20-storey building. To the east, to the north, and actually to the northwest, there are also, you know, 10 or plus storey buildings. It's inevitable this will happen in and around this in this precinct. You've got the Phoenix precinct. You've also got the Caulfield Village. This is a very changing area. It's something that's going to evolve even probably at an accelerated rate over the next 10 years. The things that save it is probably the 173 agreement, and I'm happy to see that in there, that the service departments will have to remain service departments. They can't be changed to dwellings and for living. They've got to be service departments. We've fixed up to the issues that I was concerned about, and the parking has been addressed. The height has been addressed to... No one's ever happy with anything once it starts going over 10 stories in what we would call these commercial areas. But I chaired the planning conference, and it was disappointing somewhat at the planning conference that I didn't get to hear from any objectors. No objectors came to the planning conference. So that evening all I got was the, for the want of a better word, the sales pitch, which was quite good. But there was no objective comments, nothing that I could sort of seize on. So you're really looking at the heritage issues, and you weigh that up against the commercial sense of the area. You weigh that up against what is surrounding the surrounding environment, and I can see that it does fit, and I'm happy that the facade of the old bank building is going to be retained. And we've seen that in the city, we've seen that in other suburbs where it actually can work. It can work with a modern building behind a heritage style, a heritage building. Like Councillor Silver, I think it should go ahead. We would have liked it to have been 6 stories, but it's not. So under that circumstance, I think it is an appropriate outcome, and I will be supporting the motion.
Thank you, Councillor McGee. Any speakers against the motion? Councillor Dalhunty.
Thank you. It's not a strong against speech. I don't mind many of the things going on here, and I think a lot of the objectors' concerns, although there were not many objectors, their concerns were valid, and they have been largely dealt with through conditions apart from the height, and I don't think the height is unreasonable in that area. I'm sad to see that it's not student accommodation. It's the right spot for student accommodation, but maybe that... Maybe students live in service departments these days, I don't know. But I thought we could have improved the student accommodation outcome there. That always keeps the street alive in terms of retail as well. Now, my objection and my hesitation with this is the application of our heritage policy, which I don't believe has been done correctly with regards to the demolition of the building at number 13 goes and 9 stays, something like that. The demolition of number 13. Now, we're allowing the demolition of number 13 despite our heritage advisor suggesting that it has contributory heritage value. The item in the agenda suggests that consideration must be given to whether demolition would adversely affect the significance of the heritage of the place, and then goes on to say that the heritage policy allows demolition to be considered if the original fabric of the building has been compromised. But I think that's not exactly the right reading of the heritage provision. It actually says it discourages complete demolition of significant and contributory buildings unless it can be demonstrated to the satisfaction of us, the responsible authority, that it is structurally unsound and cannot be feasibly repaired, that it has deteriorated to such an extent that a substantial reconstruction would be required to make the building habitable, that the replacement building displays design excellence, and that it's positively supporting the ongoing significance of the heritage precinct if it was to be replaced. So we've sort of taken a selection of that sentence and applied it to the demolition of that building, and I think that's the incorrect application of the heritage policy, and I don't think that's a fair thing to do. I don't have a particular love for that building. It has been modified, but But you don't get another chance at these certain at these things. We don't have in our policy a statement that says what we've replicated in the agenda. I think that's a selective reading of it, and that's why I find that very hard to support. I don't think you can seek a heritage assessment on something in a heritage area, which is the right thing to do, and then extract an exchange rate with the planning outcome that we're not sort of aware of, that hasn't been made clear to the public, but certainly not replicated in the policy. And so that makes me quite uncomfortable. The agenda or the officer's report suggests that the demolition of the building and its replacement with a simple entry structure is considered to be an acceptable outcome. And had it deteriorated to such an extent that it was uninhabitable or that its significant reconstruction was needed in order to make it safe, then I would probably agree. That's unfortunate too. We need to be able to have tools to save these buildings, no matter how ugly the 80s may have made them. But so that being said, I really can't support it in the way in which it is written at the moment. I don't want to see heritage areas like that, the demolition of buildings in heritage areas like that, for unnecessary reasons. And I don't think that the unnecessary reason has been given, only that it makes a good entrance into a building. I don't have a problem with the building itself. That little strip is simply very sweet, and you don't get a second chance at those buildings, so we should be applying our heritage policy. And so for that reason, I can't support the way in which the amendment was written, although I would support the parking outcomes, and I can't support this application.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Del Hunty. Any other speakers?
Just ask a question.
Yes, sure. Councillor Taylor.
So I've got myself a little bit confused. We are still preserving the front, though, aren't we? One of them. That's right. I've got a bit confused there. All right. And do you concur with what Councillor Del Hunty has said about the heritage elements? I mean,
Who are you asking?
Oh, I was going to ask.
Okay, you're looking at me.
Not you, sorry.
Okay, Mr. Torres.
Not to put you in an awkward situation, though I probably am.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The heritage policy has a number of considerations, and Councillor Del Hunty did read out excerpts of that. So the planning officer has taken into account the heritage policy together with other requirements that it has to consider in terms of the zone and so on, informing its recommendation.
Thanks, Mr. Torres. Does that answer your question, Councillor Taylor?
Sorry.
Okay, any further speakers? Councillor Strait.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In the previous item, I mentioned that there really needs to be a place for development and there needs to be a place to protect neighbourhood amenity. For whether we like it or not, this is the place for development. It is right near the university, it is where other major development is going. When we think of how close this is to Caulfield Station, to the train line, the tram line that's directly outside of it, for so many reasons, this is a logical place for development to go, for the major arterial road that's right next door. For a number of reasons, this makes sense. Certainly, this is a better application than what we received before. I think this application has taken into account a number of concerns that the community have. The fact that, look, while I think the three objections were really on point and there were some serious things there, the fact that only three objections came in for a building proposal of 15 storeys is a telltale sign of where this is being built. I would point out a number of different things that I think are important, and perhaps I'll start with the question of the heritage character, because while I do agree with much of what Councillor Del Hunty has mentioned about the need to protect character, I also recognise that notion of many of these decisions, like Councillor Ezikoff mentioned in the last item, there is a question of grey here, and we have to make assessments and decisions. If you have a look, and I'm looking at my computer now because I've got Google Earth open on the street, and I'm having a look along the street, and it's incredible that such a short street manages to incorporate about four different styles, all of which are quite rich in terms of their heritage and the era in which they were built and what it does for that incredible little shopping street. It is actually quite beautiful, maybe not so much that sort of 1980s supermarket design on the other side, but other than that, the street is actually is quite beautiful, and there are quite a number of different styles that actually sort of all come together to make it this eclectic little shopping strip. If you were going to pick out the odd one out in the street, the 1980s horrendous refresh of a building, the building that's proposed to be to have the facade demolished is the one that sticks out as probably what I would count, if I had to pick the building that contributes least to the heritage of the street, on that side of the road, this would be it. And therefore, I do have some leniency towards the notion of saying that in order for this to happen, does that building in particular actually contribute wholeheartedly to the heritage in the street? I'm struggling to see it at that level, simply because, and again, I'm not taking it from a policy point of view, and those policy point of view, I do actually concur with what Councillor Delahunty said, that we do actually need a measure here, and we're just guessing, but if we are going to do that, then what I'm looking at, that is the least contributory building in the street in terms of heritage. So therefore, I am supportive of moving ahead with this application. I would like to point out one other point as well.
Councillor Strait, before you do, would you like an extension?
Yes, please. 2 minutes.
Okay. Councillor Silver moved. Second by Councillor Delahunty. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously.
I also think it's worthwhile pointing out in terms of... Sorry. In terms of the height of the proposal and what councillors' own consultants mentioned about what would be an appropriate height for that location. And it is challenging because while we may feel that an appropriate height really is somewhere in the vicinity of maybe 7 to 9 stories, we do have to consider the fact that if VCAT has already taken a position on something for this site already and has mentioned stories that are significantly higher, we are baiting an applicant to appeal a decision if we were to go too low here. I think it is about reaching a compromise. I think it's about doing what's reasonable within that area. The reality is there is a flow and effect here. If Monash hadn't built I believe it's an 11-storey or whatever it is, building right nearby, then that would have set a different precedence to what we have now. I know that we meant to look at each application in and of itself, but precedents are set. We're all talking about the precedence of what's being built around there. The fact of the matter is we're approving something that's a little bit higher than that Monash building just over to the east of this site. So that's the benefit you get of going now. And, you know, had this applicant waited 25 years and had there been more buildings, maybe we'd consider something different. But at the moment, I do believe that this is a fair and reasonable compromise of finding what does not constitute an overdevelopment of that site. And I personally believe that our officers at this point have found that middle ground, which is reasonable. So I will be supporting it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Strait. Any further speakers? Councillor Delahunty, you've got a question?
I'll ask you a question, yes, and I'll ask it now, and maybe there might be an answer further on into the discussion of the item, because I'm going to ask Mr. Torres to point something out, so I completely understand if you need some time to do that. But it just in response to Councillor Taylor's question earlier, it does actually say in our agenda item on page 56 of the agenda, page 11 of this item, the heritage policy allows demolition to be considered if the original fabric of the building has been compromised. I can't actually see that in our heritage policy. Would you mind pointing that bit out to us, please? Thank you.
Well, thanks, Councillor Delahunty. Are there any further speakers? Councillor Mr. Torres would really like there to be.
Yeah.
Councillor Davey.
Say the Satori, of course. This, that's all we did. I hadn't really decided on this one and wanted to hear what people had to say around the table and to hear the strange noises as they open bottles of drink. And Councillor Delahunty's convinced me. It doesn't sit comfortably with me having this little facade, which is actually quite cute. I mean, 1980s, not everyone's style. Can appreciate not everyone really likes it. But you know, it's kind of cute, and it does contribute to the whole streetscape. And my concern is if we start to say, oh, you know, that one doesn't really matter, what about the little, you know, there's a couple of Chinese takeaways a wee bit further up that, you know, they've had some pretty shoddy work done to them on the exterior. Do we start to ignore them as well? It all adds to the character. I think, as a few people have said, this is a place that is ripe for this sort of development. It's near the train station, near the supermarket, near all the goods and services, near everything you want and everything you need to live your life. There's a park just down the road as well. So certainly don't object to the proposed height that we've put in the motion, but just concerned about the precedent that this sets and the lack of respect that it kind of shows for something that people don't necessarily consider heritage. It's kind of modern heritage in a way. I can't support the motion tonight. And the other comment that was quite interesting through the discussion was about student housing. With Monash Uni right next door and their plans to grow their campus into, you know, a megacity, and to, you know, to have greater connections across to the Clayton campus and their other campuses, this is, you know, perfect for student housing, rather, well, in my mind, it's perfect for student housing rather than service departments. So it's a very long-winded way of saying I won't be supporting the motion that's been put forward, and I think I've enough time.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Davey. Mr. Torres, do you have an answer to Councillor Dohany's question?
I have something to say, Mr. Mayor. I'll just quote the report to give context. The paragraph that Councillor Delahunty quoted was, the heritage policy allows demolition to be considered if the original fabric of the building has been compromised and it is demonstrated that the replacement building would display design excellence and would positively support the ongoing significance of the heritage precinct. So in that paragraph, I believe that paraphrases three dot points in the heritage policy, and those dot points are in the demolition section, which says it is policy to discourage complete demolition. So it's not an outright prohibition, it's a discouragement, if that's a word. And the dot points that I believe have been paraphrased are these. The original fabric of the building has deteriorated to such an extent that a substantial reconstruction would be required to make the building habitable. And the replacement building displays design excellence. And if located within a heritage precinct, the replacement building clearly and positively supports the ongoing significance of the heritage precinct.
Councillor Delahunty, do you have a follow-up question?
May I ask a follow-up question? Is the current building, to your knowledge, Mr. Torres, uninhabitable?
Mr. Mayor, I don't believe so.
So the test in the first dot point has not been met. Is it, in fact, the first dot point of the demolition section of the Glenara planning scheme, of the heritage area of the Glenara planning scheme, does that actually say it is policy to retain significant and contributory buildings, and has this been considered to be a significant building?
Mr. Torres?
Our heritage advisor has advised that it is a contributory building, numbers 9 and 13.
So, look, it's not a question, I suppose, but I'm still at a loss as to how this meets our policy. That's not a question. The universe. It's a question to the universe. How does this meet our policy when we suggest that we want to retain significant contributory buildings, as this one has been proven, that it is actually structurally sound, so it doesn't meet the first dot point, that it doesn't meet the second dot point because it is habitable. It's a subjective design excellence, but it's got a lot of tests to meet before we get to saying that the replacement is even to be considered, let alone whether or not we think it's excellent. And I would note, universe, when I make this question to you, that we go to some length to protect a tree next door, much more so than we go to protect the building that is actually a contributory, regardless of whether or not we think it's worthwhile. An expert does. So that is a mystery to me, universe. That is my question.
Okay, so given that the universe doesn't answer questions, would you like to step in? Well, I think we've heard a fair bit from the universe before, but but I couldn't quite make out what it was trying to say. So, Mr. Torres, would you like to respond to that, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe it's not clearly expressed in the report, but it's a question of degree of contribution to the heritage precinct, and that could have been more elaborately expressed in the report, but the officer, the planning office, has come to the view that on balance the facade at number 13 and the building at number 13 is of less contribution to the heritage precinct, and its demolition will not adversely affect the heritage value of the precinct compared to number 9, and that's why the recommendation is to retain the wider, larger facade at number 9 and recommend demolition of the facade at number 13.
I'm sorry, that's just another follow-up question, if I may, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
It was within your within the planning officer's power to find that both should be retained, though. It's not like one should be considered over the other. There wasn't a balance between the two that you were trying to find. You just found one to be more contributory than another. And can I just ask, if you could just clarify that? And can I also ask, was it the heritage advisor that found both buildings to be contributory?
Mr. Torres?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe the heritage advisor found both buildings to be contributory, and the planning office came to the view, based on what was being proposed, that that the demolition of number 13 was appropriate compared to the demolition of number 9. So it agreed or supported the proposal of retention of number 9's facade.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Torres. Are there any further speakers? Councillor Taylor.
Well, I think it's it reflects well on council the extent of the rigour that is being shown to test the contributory nature of the various buildings. So I think this discussion is actually very healthy. It's kind of difficult. I mean, I'm on the line there because I can see that, to be honest, looking superficially with my non-heritage expert eyes, it doesn't look terribly different, and I don't see that it is destroying what I can see the most significant heritage contributing element, which is the building element, the part that's being retained, if that makes sense. So the building on the left versus the one on the right, the one that they want to. The fact that it's 1980s as well, I mean, yeah, it doesn't break my heart the same way it would if they were going to destroy the other building, which is, or the other facade, which is to the left. And then I'm looking at the purposive elements of these, the actual building itself, and we know that that is a very busy metropolis. It has students everywhere. It's very alive. It's right on a transport centre. So relatively speaking, I think it is, if you're going to have more development, that is an excellent place to have it. It makes sense. With the service departments, it's hard weighing up the merit for and against, but I guess perhaps also people visiting the students as well, maybe family and friends, etc. There must be a purposive element to that, and I'm going to try and give it the benefit of the doubt as well, that there must be a positive element to that. And we're also getting more and more transport networks going through there as well, so it is well supported and facilitated. So, right on the line there, I'm glad that we've shown the rigour that we have in testing the contributory nature of the 1980s facade.
Okay, go ahead, Councillor.
It's 1940s building with 1980 amendments.
Oh, okay, 1980s. Sorry, yes, I'm glad you corrected me on that. So the 1980s refurbishment or zhuzh, which probably, you know, might have been better not done. I don't know what it looked like before, unfortunately, and maybe if that hadn't been done, we wouldn't be having the debate now as well. That's probably what's actually made it a very difficult decision. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Taylor. Any further speakers? Councillor Iskoff.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be very quick. It's been a long discussion, but it's been an enlightening one, and I've appreciated what's been said around the room. I tend to agree with Councillor Taylor on this, that the in the main, the frontage that is being retained is the important part, in my mind. The other part I like 1940s architecture, 1930s, 40s. I don't see the zhuzh, I can't see that change. It looks very 40s to me. But I think being such a narrow section of that total frontage, I think I'm quite happy with this application as it is, and the recommendation as it is.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Resikoff. That leaves me. I'll start off with a question for Mr. Torres. Where, in that dot point, you use the word deteriorates. One of the dot points specifies the word deteriorates. Could you read that out for me again?
The dot point states the original fabric of the building has deteriorated to such an extent that a substantial reconstruction would be required to make the building habitable.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, okay, I missed that bit about habitable. So it doesn't actually relate to whether it's lost its heritage value, it's actually whether it's structurally sound, whether people can actually use it. So I guess the other point you made, this isn't a question, this is me talking. The other point that was made by Mr. Torres was that we discourage destruction of contributory. We don't forbid it, and I guess it is a matter of weighing up the pros and cons, the extent to which it's contributory as against the extent to which a outstanding, I think was the word, architectural outcome can be achieved by demolishing it. We don't have a choice here to say to the applicant, no, you have to build it, leaving that there, and you know, restore it to its 1940s glory, because that's too much of a redesign. So we have the choice between saying, yes, you can do it and demolish it, or no, you can't, in which case we ought to refuse it if we think that they shouldn't. On the balance, I think it is fair enough that, as Councillors Taylor and Isikoff say, that it's the extent to which it's contributory doesn't outweigh the need to or the desirability of having this outcome there. So I certainly understand the concerns raised by Councillors Dalhunty and Davey, but I'm going to support the motion. So Councillor Silver, did you wish to sum up?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? That motion is carried.